very, very grateful. Also, so many devotees sent me medicine. My whole room is full with medicine. I want to tell all of you, I'm over it. I sweated the whole night. I counted 50 liters of sweat, went and withered a lot of disease, so I should be all right in a very few moments. Hare Krishna, Marian, welcome. So, yes. So, I want to say, it's very nice that you sent me so much medicine, but I'm now full. I don't need more. Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi. O Gopi Jana Vallava Girivaradhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamunatira Vana Chari. Yamunatira Vana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kunyabihari Radha, Kunyabihari Radha. Naya Radha, Kanaya Lala Radha, Kanaya Lala Radha. Jaya Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Sila Prabhupada. Vede Sila De.
Actually, I... Paloma. I think you all must know, Srila Jiva Goswami wrote six powerful treatises. Treatises means something like a research work. The Shat Sandarbhas, and one of them is the Bhakti Sandarbha. In the Bhakti Sandarbha has an introductory shloka which I want to read to you. It's a verse which describes A, that we are now separated from Krishna, and B, that by devotional service under the guidance of an able guide, we can overcome that bridge of separation, that gap of separation. The shloka is here for you. Bhayam dvitiya bhinivesatasyat ishatapitasya viparayayo smritih tanmayayato buddha abayet tang bhaktyaika yesham guru devatatma. See, when we are separated from Krishna, we feel fear in our heart. Here's the verse. Fear arises at the time when the living entity misidentifies himself and thinks he is a material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. So the moment you misidentify and you stop being in your spiritual identification, but you begin to identify with the selfish body and selfish mind. I mean, the body has selfish desire and the mind as such also. You become separated by Maya from Krishna and you become afraid, or to put it in modern language, insecure. You've lost your standing. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own position as a servant of the Lord. This confusion, this fearful condition, is affected by the illusory potency called Maya. Okay, so we turn our back to Krishna, look towards the material energy, and then find a car. Means a body in Maya's kingdom. And with this body and the mind, we drive away further from Krishna. The fuel, that means the driving force for going further away from Krishna, is of course Maya. And Maya works into our mind and our body and gives it the power to do the impossible, that is to separate from Krishna. Now, when this happens, the Bhagavatam says, you should gather the last amount of intelligence which you have in you, and you should immediately turn your face back to Krishna in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. And this turning back to Krishna should be done under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, whom one should accept as his worshipable deity and as his very life and soul. This is the shloka. We will hear it again. But I would like you to just think for a moment what does it mean for you that you are separated from Krishna? It's an interesting question. I feel this question is very important to ask at the beginning of this lecture. Could we maybe just have a show of hands? What does this mean to be separated from Krishna? A loss of knowledge. We all of a sudden have separate desires, desires which are not in tune with Krishna. Yeah.
Everything is boring.
What? Everything is boring.
If it's not,
but there are movies. And
Ha ha ha.
I want to stimulate your thought. Everything is boring if it's not connected. Okay? But there's a mode of passion. When you're in the mode of passion, you don't feel bored, you feel highly agitated. And the mode of tamaguna, everything is boring, but there's passion also. I can go into passion. What does it mean to be separated from Krishna? Govinda Nandan, the father of Andal. This is a very deep point. Govinda Nandan says, when we separate from Krishna, it's a fearful position. So to overcome the fear, we need to do something to cover it up, and we therefore try to control and enjoy the material nature, to create a false bubble, which we call our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are trying to enjoy, but on the end is always suffering.
Hare Krishna. Hey, do you have experience of this?
Yes.
We try to enjoy, but at the end there's always suffering. Mm-hmm. Ante, isn't it? Yes. For me, being separated from Krishna means it's very, very much connected to what Shapko said. I don't know who I really am. That's a loss of knowledge and understanding. Mm-hmm. See, the problem is when you are separated from God, a terrifying thing happens, which is so absolutely terrifying that I can only express it to you who have all seen the movie Matrix in a language which this movie uses, a language which I hear comes from Sankhya philosophy, the philosophy which is the Vedic philosophy and also the Buddhist looking of reality. See, when you turn away from reality, you actually can't exist. You have no existence. You come from existence to non-existence. But because the soul is eternal, you know, he just cannot disappear when he goes away from God. But something which is much more intense is he builds up a false identity and totally loses himself in this identity. There was this famous movie which described how the human beings did not live any longer in a reality which surrounded them in the actual sense, but they were all dreaming up a controlled reality. They were all in a state of a dream or unconscious thing, and then they were in an illusory world. I think the great philosophers of the world, some of them have seen it. For instance, Platon, who described in an analogy that we live in the world of shadows only, and the shadows are seen by us as the ultimate reality. So this is a great problem, because you know, a problem is great and incurable when you don't know it's a problem, when you don't feel it's a problem, when there is enough illusion that you just don't recognize the problem any longer. It's almost, you know, like a cancer patient who says he doesn't feel any pain. Usually that's the sign that he is very quickly dead, because the body doesn't feel any longer the metastasis and so on. It's already killed by the cancer. It has no feeling for it. So this is a great, great problem. I don't know if I can make you understand, but it's a great problem when you lose yourself to the extent that you don't know any longer that you are lost. It is. Then what can be done for you? Isn't it? If someone tells you, we are lost, you get angry. What do you mean? Because you have successfully lost yourself. What do you mean? Everything is all right. This is how great philosophers have analyzed the condition, and this is how this Bhagavatam verse tells the condition, you know, of the conditioned soul. And therefore, you actually need to turn to someone in this illusory world who is not lost like you are lost or like we are lost. We need to turn them. And then we need to just surrender and be, can I please be accepted in this service? I need the connection now for someone who guides me out of this dark forest. And this is what the verse says is the solution for all of this. So, okay. Now, at this moment, when we are covered by the perfect illusion. It's not just like in a movie, The Matrix, you know, some computer illusion. No. It appears so real, and you can all make a test on the chair of the dentist. I mean, the material energy and the pain. You really think it's real, isn't it? You give me an injection, please. Yeah. So, at the beginning stage, when someone starts to make his reconnection with Krishna again, he is often in two minds. When he was in Maya, he was in one mind only. Oh no, I'm a Croatian, I'm a German, I'm a very intelligent person. This is my work. This is my home. These are my relatives. This is my dog, and so on and so forth. It is one mind only. Now, when this conditioned soul notices, my God, something is wrong here. Everyone is dying around me. My God. And when I have tried to enjoy, why do I feel so empty afterwards and so forlorn? If you begin to notice, the color falls away from the illusion and you see the naked, oh my God, that is the life I was leading. Then something very interesting happens. I want to explain to you philosophically what first of all happens. See, really, the material energy is just matter. It looks like this. But when, because I'm separated and I want to enjoy, I give it raga, jup, a color, and then it seems to have a color. So it's really me or my mental projection which give the material energy. I only have holy things here, so it's difficult to give it. Maybe this will work. You know, it's only my imagination, my hope that it gives it gives this thing color. For instance, when I fall in love with this material body, you know, I project on this body that it's enjoyment. But Prabhupada always said, but look, 1 millimeter under the skin, how it looks. But we are not prepared to see this actual fact. We only see that this is enjoyable. You know, I was once in Germany on a conference, and my neighbor, knowing that I was not drinking alcohol, turned to his neighbor and gave him a little whiskey. And in Germany, a rich man carries super strong whiskey in this pocket. It's in a silver bottle. It's very, very strong. If you just have a little bit, you have the effect of 20 bottles. And he just gave it, because it was so boring, the part of the conference. He just took a little, and he gave it to the other person next to him, a professor, and he also went, "Oh, is it strong?" he said. "It's so strong, it kills me." You know. And I said, "Then don't drink it if it kills you." I for a moment, the professors looked at me and said, "Wow, you have seen the reality. Why do we drink it if it kills us? That's a good question." And this is Maya, you know. You find something in it, which is only your projection. But after some time, because everything is temporary, that color which your mind has given reality, it's called raga, fades away, falls away, falls off, and you see it for what it is. Many of you have seen this in relationships and are therefore suspicious of relationship. You project everything into a relationship and think, this will work, this is good, he is a friend, or she is a friend, I know it. But after some time, you see, it was only your hope in the person which made this a relationship, but it's an ordinary person like you also. So those of you who begin to see, "My God, I'm in a wrong dream. I'm in a in Germany we say, I'm in the wrong movie." You know, there are these huge movie theaters with 9 different movies at a time, and then you can't, sometimes you get lost. I mean, I have no experience of this, but I have heard sometimes you wanted to go to a adventure movie, and then you are in one of these boring or German nationalistic movies, you know, where she is herding sheep in the mountains, and he is mowing the grass down in the valley, and sometimes they see each other by a mirror image. Oh, and it's so boring, and you know what comes out, you know. And then she has to go to America because she's married to a rich bankman, and he feels separation in the valley with his sheep, and you begin to think, "My God, I'm in the wrong movie," you know. So those conditioned souls who wake up from the material dream by seeing what Maya really is, they are no longer in one mind, but they are, and this is strange, they are in two minds. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states, when we initially gain a drop of faith and begin to think, let me become a Vaishnav and serve the Lord. At that time, the concepts of I and mine are still there, though they are a little more spiritualized. In other words, in the beginning, when I wake up from the dream, I still am under the control of false ego, and I still think I and me. This is I am this body, you know, this wrong identity, and this is my thoughts and my rights, and so on. And we are still a little, but we think, let me now become a Vaishnava with all of this, you know. So we are in between. We are on one foot is on the spiritual side, and another foot is on the material side. And therefore we are often in conflict. Should I surrender, or should I, you know, make arrangements for my own security in this mayic world, in this material world? I have some very, very nice disciples who are fighting between these two things. You know, should I just dedicate myself to devotional service, or should I make arrangements now? Maybe I should study something and go to some profession and earn an independent income, and so on. So we are torn between the two. And because we are still in a divided mind, we have not really realized that surrendering to Krishna will take care of everything. We don't have this faith at the moment. We are torn between the good things which we now want, spiritual life, and the things we still feel pulled to do. Or I want to express it in the way of, what is his name? Augustinus. The new will which we begin to develop is not yet strong enough to overcome that other old will which is strengthened by long indulgence, by long activities. So, at this state where we are torn between two positions, where we are sometimes a little spiritual and then again fully material, you know, we are in a very precarious or very difficult situation. You can find this situation when you chant. Sometimes your mind is with Krishna and you seem to go along in a very, very nice way. You are very strong in your spiritual development. You are very happy, actually. But then while you chant, all of a sudden, boom, you are again on the sand, so to say. Sometimes you are in the ocean, nectarian ocean of the holy name, and then it seems by some process which you don't really know, pang, you are brought back on the dry shore of material existence. Do you understand? This is, you know, in our spiritual practice, this being between two worlds. First, we were only in the material world. Then, sometimes devotees said everything was so easy and uncomplicated when I was in Maya. My life was easy. I went to school and I thought, my schedule was clear. Now, so many difficult things, you know, I have to think about. Yes, it's because we are not yet on the safe side. So in this thing, in this mood, we need a very interesting understanding, which I want to this morning introduce to you. It's a little complicated, therefore I needed to go a little bit into the basic philosophy. Now I'm just seeing Satyabhama. Would you mind to go a little bit back with your Italian super translation? Because you sit in the midst of everyone, and I even hear you and think, hear nice words like bellissimo and amore and Krishna and so on. So in this situation where you are wavering, tottering, tumbling, not yet stabilized, Labilsky, you know, you need to make contact with the spiritual world. That's very important. You need to somehow feel more connected to the spiritual world than you feel connected to the material world while you're still in there. And this is not easy, Mahojwala. The scriptures, you know, you are here in the material world. You are still very much influenced by the material world. Now, how will you make contact and be connected with the spiritual reality? This is a question, Sridhar. This is a good question. And listen to how this will work. It will work if you feel, if you begin to feel vipralamba or separation from the spiritual world. If you, in other words, outwardly you are here in the material world, but mentally you feel you want to be in the spiritual world. And this feeling is first very soft, like a starting fire, but then if it becomes more and more, this feeling of vipralamba will become a strong fire, like this, and it will actually burn away from you this illusion which constantly pulls you back to this problematic situation of being in the material world. Do you understand this, Devashi Narada Prabhu? It's important that we get a full understanding from it. But the feeling of separation connects you internally, which is most important, to that which lies in the distance. Have you ever felt that you like somebody? No, of course, we know this. And this person may be in another place, in another country maybe, or somewhere else. But if you now think of the beloved person and feelings of, I really wish your association, I'm so, so grateful whenever I'm together with you, I feel my energy rises when I'm together with you. No? Then when we think of this friend who is in the far distant country, something magical happens. The friend comes into our heart. I think, Sridhar, you must be feeling this in relationship to your wonderful, wonderful daughter. Sridhar has a japa retreat child. Yeah, she was participating in the japa retreat when Rajashree was highly expectant. I think one more month was left, or two more months were left. Rajashree, Sridhar's wife. And I remember this child is so sweet, so slatky. I know Govindananda thinks his daughter is the best, but you should see Sridhar's child, Govindananda. Okay, this is a very. We were there for the Anna prashna ceremony, the first feeding of the first green. And this child is, because it's a japa retreat child, so sweet, you know. When the women see it, they all go like, ah, I must get a child also. There's no question. This is a proof. Sridhar's child is the proof. You know, very sweet and very... Oh, she was very temper, very cooperative even at the Annaprashna ceremony. You know, that's when they eat the first grains. She almost wouldn't stop when Rajasri, she knew the best how to feed. Yes, so I think, Sridhar, you must be thinking sometimes, my little child, so sweet, so absolutely good. And when you think of the child, something very mysteriously happened. The child is in your heart and you see the child there. You see a picture of whom you love in your heart. But this only happens when you feel some separation from the child, when you feel the desire to connect again with the child. Then it's in the heart. Or a beloved person. I think we all know. We all are people who have emotions, and we all feel when we think. I feel that sometimes many of my some of my disciples are thinking of me, and I feel this so strong because somehow I'm a little bit in this life a little bit subtle, and I can feel these things. I feel how these people, I almost feel pulled away from the country of where I am and moving to where they are, and all of a sudden I sit in their warm heart. It's a nice sitting place in there, and so on, a heart full of affection and so on. This is now our human experience, and I needed to give you an example from what happens when you are in Vipralamba. Those who you think of, although you are externally separated, appear in your heart. And it's a wonderful contact, because you think of them with, you know, you can really see them. You just need to open your jacket a little bit. And, you know, it's really there. You know, it's there, they're sitting there, eating, saying, hello, we are here, so on. They're really there. Whereas sometimes, listen to this, when you are with people whom you hold dear, if there is not this feeling, you feel just very separated. You feel just disconnected. There's not much interesting talks, no interesting feelings. Huh? You just eat your breakfast. Can you give me the butter, please? You know, nothing is there. But by this feeling of separation, distance means miles, are overcome. The words Vipralamba is divided in two Sanskrit words. Vipra, which means distance, and alamba means to attain. By Vipralamba, by this mood, Lalita Madhav Prabhu, you attain, in other words, that which lies in the distance, which is far away from you, like the moon or the sun or the Saturn. No one wants to attain Saturn, but whatever is in the distance, it's there. Now Krishna himself talks about this feeling of separation, and it's now very important that you listen to Krishna a little bit when he talks about this, because we will be teaching you in now, this is a little bit advanced spiritual knowledge which you will now learn, how to attain the distant Krishna by arriving at this mood. First of all, I would like to read to you something. Uh, which Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela. It's very mystical what he writes, but I think you will understand. A person who is advanced in Krishna consciousness, like you, always feels separation from Krishna. Because, listen to this now, such a feeling of separation excels the feeling of meeting Krishna. What means excels in Croatian language, please? It's better. Nadilast. Nadilasi. Nadilasi. So, a person who is advanced in Krishna consciousness always feels separation from Krishna because such a feeling of separation, nadilasi, or excels the feeling of meeting Krishna. See Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, now comes an example of this. In his last 12 years of existence within this world, at Jagannath Puri, taught the people of the world how, with a feeling of separation, one can develop his dormant means sleeping, love of Krishna. So this is a school. He taught this in his school of Vipalamba, how you can develop your dormant love for Krishna through this road, through this way. Such feelings of separation, now listen to this, it is so mystical. Such feelings of separation or meeting with Krishna. What? Separation is meeting with Krishna? I mean, that's a paradox, no? If you have listened, you will understand how this is meeting, but I will, because some of you might not yet have listened, because it's so early in the morning and we are sleepy and we want to eat and do yoga. So I will make it again, I will say again. If you think with feelings of separation, you may be disconnected by miles and kilometers, but that which is disconnected is in your heart now. That means it's close. It's closer, it's as close as your veins, you know. So therefore Prabhupada said, such feelings of separation or meeting with Krishna are different stages of love of Godhead. Meeting with Krishna where? In the heart. No? These feelings develop in time when a person seriously engages in devotional service. So, here in this Japa retreat, we will speak about this and different techniques, and because this is a serious thing. I want to tell you a little bit what Krishna himself says about this feeling, this mystical feeling. This, I always call it the bridge feeling, the feeling which makes a bridge between us here and the spiritual world. There is an episode in Brihad Bhagavatamrita where Narada Muni wants to find the highest devotees, and he comes into Dwaraka, and he is overwhelmed with remembering Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and his Vrindavan devotees. And he comes stumbling down the roads fully in love of Krishna, thinking of his dear devotees, the gopis. And he doesn't know how he finds the palace of Krishna. He doesn't have a GPS system or navigation system. He somehow dances down the roads and ends up in the palace of Krishna. And in this palace of Krishna, there was a problem. Krishna didn't get up in the morning because he just felt so much separation from Vrindavan that he had cried all night. And he was still under the, you know, under the layers, what is it, the blanket, and was just crying and sobbing. Sobbing means He was really crying, missing his devotees so much. And then somehow he comes out of his bed on the terrace where his devotees talk about Krishna's sadness. Imagine someone would be so sad on the japa retreat. Dharmagup was just not come out of his room at Krishnaji when he was, I don't know what's with Dharmagup, he's just crying. I hope it's ecstasy. You know? And we would all only talk about Dharmagup. We would sit here, what happened to him? Maybe love of God had came to Dharmagup in the night and kissed him. You know, maybe, who knows? Or maybe some serious problem is there. Maybe it was too strong yesterday, so many rounds, and something, the wiring went wrong, and so on. So they all sit there, the devotees, and talk about Krishna. He's so sad, what is? And then while they talk, they all of a sudden feel Krishna's presence, because Krishna has this fragrance. He smells so wonderful. And they look up, and he's standing there in the door. He looks more beautiful than ever. He's standing and leaning there. And he wants to hear what the devotees talk about him on the terrace. And then Balaram says something which really makes the whole thing very problematic. He says, Krishna, your devotees in Vrindavan miss you so much. They will not die because of starvation, because they always drink the nectar of your names. But they will die because there will be a forest fire in Bandiravan. Krishna listens. Bandiravan, that's his favorite forest in Vrindavan, where he's always with the cowherd boys. And there are the calves and the cows. And Balaram, who wants that Krishna goes to Vrindavan and looks for his devotees, you know, doesn't just cry in bed in Dwaraka, you know. He says, their end will come in a fire, because the forest of Bandiravan is so dry from feeling separation that it catches fire, and all your devotees who cannot die in any other way will just jump into the forest fire and give up their life. This is what you do to your devotees, Govinda. So when Krishna hears that there will be a forest fire in Vrindavan, and his devotees will jump into the forest because they can't tolerate being separate from Krishna. This is too much for Krishna. Krishna, who's very gentle in his nature and who's already tormented by the suffering of others, grabs Balaram's neck and sheds a flood of tears, like a person who is mad, and his tears are becoming so much that all the cosmetics are washed away from his face. You can look at our Kunya Bihari. There's so many decorations. This is only, I mean, this is the some decorations. Krishna is really beautiful. You can't imagine how he's decorated. All this is washed away by a river of tears, thinking of his devotees. And then he cries in his beautiful voice. This must sound so beautiful when God cries for his devotees. And he grabs Balaram, both of them fall on the ground and roll on the ground and lose their consciousness. I mean, this is serious. Imagine the Lord, by whose power everything exists, loses consciousness. Problematic. The whole universe started to show inauspicious symptoms, stars went out of their orderly circuit. Some meteors began to fall down. Krishna had lost his consciousness. Now Brahma came down to see this for himself, and he lands in Brahma on his swan in Dwarka, and he sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead washed with his own tears on the ground. Hare Krishna, Hare Mohan. He quickly tells tells everyone, we need to get Garuda. He can touch Krishna. I can't touch Krishna. I'm just so ordinary. And Garuda comes flying down. Yes, what is there? What is there to do? Take Krishna. I mean, he loses his consciousness in the separation. Take him to New Vrindavan. And at this moment, Garuda just puts Krishna and Balaram on the back, and he flies over to a garden in Dwaraka, which has been made, like the botanical gardens, has been made to be the perfect imitation of Vrindavan. So, all the devotees come and hide behind trees to see what happens to Krishna. And Garuda lands, puts Krishna down on the ground, and the first one to awaken is Balaram. Balaram understands, wow, the situation is really intense. We must bring Krishna back into the Vrindavan mood, where he meets his devotees. And he quickly dresses Krishna in a yellow dhoti, puts a flute in, puts a nice turban on his head. And then Krishna wakes up. Do you see? Oh, my Vrindavan dhoti. He sees his dhoti, the flute. He looks around and he sees all these typical Vrindavan trees. And the first thing he does is he goes like, Balaram, I had a nightmare. I was dreaming I was separate from Vrindavan. Balaram says, I hope he believes that he's not in Vrindavan, that he is in Vrindavan, you know. I hope. So, then there is a Yashoda, a perfect puppet of Yashoda. It's like a we say here a mannequin. Do you know? Is it what you have in the shopping windows? What is? Is it a mannequin? Yeah, it's not a real woman. It's a model. A model of a woman. So there is a model of Yashoda. And Krishna, being so in ecstasy, Yashoda, Yashma Yashoda comes. And to Mother Yashoda. Says, Mother Yashoda, I dreamt, I had this terrible nightmare. But I'm all right, you know, don't worry. I'm going now out to herd the cows. And Mother Yashoda, this model, has a little butter and sugar in one of her hands, like Yashoda always had. When Krishna went away to the forest, Yashoda had a little butter and sugar and gave it to Krishna that he wouldn't feel weak, you know. So Krishna grabs the butter and the sugar and eats it and feels just very heavy and said, Mother, it's all right. I'm all right. Don't worry. And then he goes and meets his friends. They are all models. They are put there by Vishvakarma. And finally Radha. And he sees, Radharani looks at him with a very beautiful glance. She's only a model. Krishna looks at her and says, did I offend you? Oh, omniscient Srimati Radharani, you must know everything that happened today in my dream, because you know my mind. I left you in my dream. How could I do this? And went elsewhere. In that distant place, I married many princesses, Radha. Please forgive me, but it's only a dream. These princesses had been preparing to end their lives. And I had sons, I had grandsons and great-grandsons. Anyway, I'm all right now. I woke up from this terrible dream. Now, I will go to the forest. And tonight, when the sun sinks, O bestower of satisfaction, I will meet you and we will enjoy. And when Krishna says this, he wants to give pleasure to Radharani. So he takes a handful of flowers and throws them over Radharani like he did. And then he looks around if anyone sees him, and no one sees him. So he steps forward two steps and kisses Radharani and then goes away. So Krishna goes to the forest of Vrindavan with Balaram, who always thinks hopefully, you know, he is now, this is his therapy, he feels now he's home again, hopefully, you know, everything will go alright. And Krishna looks at the trees, he touches the trees, he is enjoying, he puts one yellow Kanikara flower over his right ear, and then he thinks this is not the right position, he puts it on the left ear. He's totally at home, in other words. Then he looks for drinking water for the cows. And now it happens. This is very important. He goes and he sees the ocean. Dwaraka is on the ocean side. First he sees, my God, is Yamuna big. But then he looks, and then he sees his 16,108 palaces. Where am I, Balaram? And who am I? Krishna is totally bewildered in his leela. What is all this? And Baladev knows. Now, if Krishna again notices he's separated from his devotees and he's only in Dwaraka, everything is lost. A second time, we can't get him out of this. So he immediately says, Oh, Parameshvara. Parameshvara means the supreme controller. On the request of the demigods, you, who are the Lord of Vaikuntha, has come down to remove the burden of the earth. Demons have attacked your parents, Devaki and Vasudev. The world is in disorder. Save the world. Please do your mission while you have appeared here. Krishna immediately gets into the mood and says, where are those demons? It worked, in other words. He is out of the Vrindavan consciousness without crying in separation. At this moment, Balaram bathes his Lord in the sea to wash away all the dust from Vrindavan, which is all over his body. Garuda arrives and, unseen by anyone else, goes back into his palace and dresses like the king of Dwaraka. Now, but Krishna remembers, and he wants to now talk from his heart about love. The love of his devotees to him, and the love he feels to the devotees who are separated from him. He sees Narada Muni standing in the doorway and says, what is Narada Muni doing here? Why does he not come close? And Uddhava said, well, He started all of this. He went down the roads and sang the gopi's name, and you must have heard it. And in your dream, you became, in your sleep, you became disturbed. And, no, he, Krishna says, why? He has not disturbed me. He shouldn't be afraid and he shouldn't be embarrassed. And then Krishna talks about the secret of Vipralamba. Now, this is maybe the most important part of what I have to say today, and please now concentrate very much. He says, it is true that when one is parted from those one loves, this love makes one suffer within, as if one is in a blazing forest fire. That burning pain which one feels when one is separated from those one loves creates a feeling which deepens and turns into irrepressible sorrow. Thus, at that time, one seems to be wretched. Wretched? Wretched is like forlorn. How do we say wretched? Ubok? Stai ubok. Miserable. Yeah. One seems to be miserable because it's like a forest fire, that feeling of separation. But, now Krishna says, but, this anguish and pain of separation is praised as greater than the happiness of enjoying with those one loves. Separation is so pleasing to the mind that it cannot be described. Krishna says, it appears like this. So Sanatana Goswami says, the misery of transcendental separation is only apparent, in other words, it only seems to be like this. Even while outwardly showing many symptoms of mental pain, a person feeling viraha bhava or vipralamba bhava is absorbed in incomparable bliss. Thus, the apparently means it seems like this, the seemingly miserable devotee is actually the most blissful and fortunate. So, but it's not that you might, here in this world we see, okay, when I'm separated, I become more intense, so more in love with a person. So when I actually meet the person, then I really can appreciate the person. But this logic doesn't ascribe a value to separation as it stands on its own leg. No, it's in this model, this separation only serves you to enjoy the meeting more, like hunger serves you in this world to enjoy a pizza better. But hunger as itself is never enjoyable. It's only a means for higher enjoyment. Separation, however, is not like that. Separation is already enjoyable in itself as it stands on the throne of the heart. Now we need a material example because this is very paradoxical. And Sanatana Goswami gives us an example. He says, a material example may help clarify this point. Although the coldness of ice is the opposite of the heat of fire, ice placed on one's body may feel as hot as burning coal. Have you ever made this experience? You take a piece of ice, which really is very cold, hold it to the fire, to the body, and you feel, my God, this is hot like cold. In this example, the burning sensation from the ice is illusory. What is real is the coldness of ice. Similarly, the pain of viraha bhava is illusory only. It's a false appearance. What really is there? It's an indescribable joy. And what this really means is Vipralamba helps us to attain something which lies in the distance. In Vipralamba, you may externally be separated from Krishna, but Krishna is in your heart. And whatever is in your heart, that's the reality. You may sit beside someone you have a friend who is your friend, but if you have a cold feeling in your heart towards a friend, at that moment you are not enjoying friendship, right? You may sit beside your best food, like pizza and ice cream, but if you have no hunger, then this is not your best food at the moment. It's something which makes you wretch. You know, wretch. It comes out. What is inside, my dear devotees, is the reality, not what is outside. This is so important for you to understand when you do japa. You may sit and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, but your heart is cold to Krishna, then that is not japa. You are not together with Krishna. You are only moving your lips. What you do is lip deep, not heart deep. Mm-hmm. Now, how can we understand that if we feel separate from Krishna, we are together? Prabhupada, he writes about this, and he... I have studied his writing when I was in Vashana. He said, this is too difficult to explain. And then he stops. He doesn't continue to write about it. Then a paragraph later is, but, Prabhupada cannot stop it, in other words. He will try. Philosophically, one can understand that Lord Krishna and his remembrance means remembering Krishna are on the same absolute plane. You know, when you think of Krishna, Krishna is there. Philosophically, you can try to understand. And then Krishna says, I'm so happy that you talked about the gopis in Vrindavan and made me cry. Please understand, when someone is made mindful of those which one loves, one is given back one's life. Forgetting those who are more dear than one's own breath is more painful than dying. My dear devotees, what Krishna says is so true. When you forget him whom you really love, that is Krishna, that is painful, more painful than dying. But if you are made mindful of Krishna, whom you love, then you feel like this has been, like you have been given back your life. Have you noticed this? Have you noticed in your moments of Krishna consciousness, all of a sudden you felt close to Krishna? How much you felt alive? Have you noticed? It's amazing. Remember when you were a young devotee? I remember Krishna Jivani. Krishna Jivani went on Sankirtan when she was just a young devotee who had just stopped being a rock star. And she was going and distributing books, and sometimes people would shoot at Krishna's Jivani. Therefore, she has this very interesting frisura. sometimes people would shoot at Krishna Jivani. But she felt she was doing slujba service for Krishna, and Krishna was in her heart. No problem, let's run a little bit. Because when you are together with the person you love, when it's in the heart, you start to live life again. Only when you stop loving Krishna, only when you stop thinking of Krishna, then you go into a life. And here I want to repeat what our devotee said, Kripacharya, or what? Kripapala Prabhu, even better. Kripapala Prabhu said it's boring. A life without love is not worth being living. Hare Krishna, I hope this is English. So, Sanatana Goswami says, that remembrance of Krishna becomes especially sweet when it is stimulated by the words of a eloquent Vaishnava. You feel like when a Vaishnava reminds you of Krishna and talks about Krishna, you feel, wow. This enhanced remembrance is like the satisfaction of a person whose life has been filled with fortunate events, one success after another. Isn't it when we are in Krishna consciousness and we remember Krishna, it's like one success after another. We are just, you know, flying on a very happy level. In contrast, a humdrum, mediocre existence. Mediocre means shallow. In contrast, such a shallow existence with no outstanding events is as sad as a life in total poverty. And you live without Krishna and without special Krishna conscious events, it's as sad as a life of a poor man who cannot fulfill his desires for happiness. So today, Krishna says to Narada, you have favored me greatly, and therefore I'm delighted. I have remembered those whom I love. Now, this point of Vipralamba Seva is so absolutely necessary that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told his disciples, the feeling of separation from Krishna or transcendental Vipralamba is the only practice by which the spiritual soul which is captured in the material world can achieve perfection. In other words, if you can enter into this feeling of feeling, Krishna, I'm separated from you, I miss you, where are you? Then you can obtain perfection. If you're not feeling this, you will be lost in the matrix. You will never wake up. You will just go on suffering and thinking you are enjoying by some projection, which is called raga, that you color the world, the black world, with the color, with your, the colors of your imagination, and think, wow, it is so colorful and enjoyable. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, I'm always almost have come to the end. I know this is a little bit tough, this lecture, to concentrate. Please just hear this difference between material separation and spiritual separation. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, material feelings of separation give rise to a despondency. Despondency means despair. That reveals the attachment one has for matter. Whereas the despondency that results from feelings of separation from Krishna are the best proof of one's desire to bring pleasure to his senses. Let us hear this again in clear, in simple English. When you are feeling material separation from something or someone, you feel desperate and really miserable. But if you feel separation from Krishna, Krishna comes in your heart. But here Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, he only comes in your heart if you think of giving him pleasure. You don't want to enjoy Krishna, you have to serve him. The desire to bring pleasure to Krishna's senses is the ideal example. The desire to bring pleasure to Krishna's senses, shown by Madhavendra Puri, the great soul, who's the root of this Krishna consciousness movement, is the ideal example to follow for anyone who wishes to serve the Lord. It is especially worth remarking that Mahaprabhu and his closest followers adopted later this example and made it their standard. See, Madhavendra Puri was at his deathbed and he started to show these feelings of separation which he had kept inside up to that moment. He was lying on his deathbed and he was singing again and again a song which Radharani had sung when Krishna had left Vrindavan. It's the song of separation. It's a very emotional outburst of Radharani's feeling. It goes something like this. Ai dina dayatra nata he matura nata kadavalokshase. Radharani would sit in Vrindavan. She would lie on a, not sit, she would lie on a bed of lotus flowers to give some coolness to her burning body, and she would say, O Lord of my life, you have gone now to Mathura and left us in Vrindavan. But please tell me, what should I think of now? I'm only thinking of you. Please tell me, how should I conduct my life and remain alive any longer? I can only be alive in your presence. Please tell me, how can I continue my life? I'm at the end of it. So this is this verse Madhavendra Puri was chanting it. Now he had one disciple. He was really a Nitkov. Ramachandra Puri. And Ramachandra came to the deathbed, his guru crying, where are you, Krishna? Where are you, Krishna? Why have you left, Krishna? He said, Guruji, Guru Maharaj, you're dying, you know, now it's a test of your spiritual life, you know, you should now be totally peaceful in Brahman meditation. Shanti, 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 Guru Maharaj, some shanti is necessary. Madhavendra Puri came out of this mood, looked at his disciple. There was fire in his eyes and he said, go, 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 I never want to see your face again, go. He never had said such a thing before. Ramachandra Puri understood this is serious. Maybe I said the wrong thing, and he had to leave. So Madhavendra Puri, by this feelings of separation, wanted to go back home. No, was going back home, back to Godhead. Those who are knowing about Krishna consciousness know that this is the hidden secret. I was with Radhanath Maharaj in the forest of Germany. I had invited him to come after Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's disappearance from this world. And I had the feeling that they had discussed something very important. So I invited him to the forest. There was no one around, just some bewildered deers. And I asked Maharaj, Maharaj, what did Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj talk about in the last stages when he was here? And what did you talk about together? They met every day for 1 or 2 hours, I don't know. What was the subject matter? Maharaj said, we only spoke about one verse, nothing more. Everything else we didn't discuss, only this one verse. And he asked me, do you know what this verse is? See, I always say the wrong thing when I'm asked, you know. I always say, no, I don't know, because I'm afraid to say the wrong thing, especially when it's important. If I would be in my class and you know, and I would ask a question, I would never raise my hand. I somehow have this bad karma. I always say the wrong thing. So I said, I have some feeling, but I don't know. I really don't know, and I don't want to speculate on this because I always say the wrong thing. And then he said, your feeling is right. It's that verse. So because I've promised to not speak about the verse, I will not say it now. Those who want to capture the verse have to, and who have been asleep during the lecture, you have it's on the tape, you know, you can hear it there. So this feeling, intense longing for Krishna, is really the way in which you can make contact with Krishna. If you learn, if you think everything is all right, my dear devotees, you are at the wrong place. You will not be able to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. You won't be able to escape the matrix. It just doesn't work. Only when you go into this school where you think about Krishna there, I'm calling his name, I'm chanting his name in a way, I'm missing him, I would like to be connected with him, only then you will be able to revive your soul. This feeling is like the life airs which revive a dead body. The feelings of separation will revive your soul. You know, a body which doesn't have life airs, which doesn't have pranas, is dead. Even if you put a pizza before the body, it remains dead. Only a body in whom the life earth, the pranas, move will be alive. So only a devotee who feels separated from Krishna in this world and who looks for Krishna, where is Krishna? He will have the possibility to enter the real Krishna consciousness. This, by the way, is also known to the Sufis. The Sufis say, the lover must always burn so that the beloved is full of light. You see here? Let us say this is Krishna, the beloved, and this is your heart. It must burn so that the beloved, or Krishna, is full of light for you, that you find him. You only find Krishna when you shine the light of separation on him, that you feel separated from him. Otherwise Krishna is there and you never notice Krishna. Never. You walk through your whole life and never think of Krishna. There's a poem. Would you like to hear a nice Sufi poem? The stars in the sky run through the heavens because they search for God. The sun burns from love and longing. Sometimes it's red, sometimes it's yellow. Every evening the sun falls down on the earth and faints because it longs for God. The sea, you know, Adriatic Sea, is moving because it longs for Krishna. Once a saint came to the sea and asked, "Why do you always move so much with your waves?" And the sea answered, "I'm moving because I'm longing for Krishna, for God, but I'm not worthy of God's presence. And because I'm not worthy, I'm dressed in a blue dress. My lip is dry." You know, the lip, what is the lip of the ocean? The coast, the beach. Huh? It's dry, dry sand. "My lip is dry, but I'm moving from the fire of separation." Hare Krishna, these are some poetry. Maybe poetry is good to help us understand. So this was, I thank you very much. I know that for some of you it must be very, very boring to hear this, because it is something we don't relate to and we don't speak so often. It's unknown. We go into the unknown part of our philosophy. But it's necessary that we talked one time about it, because we will now learn today to become more attentive to Krishna, to put our minds on Krishna and connect our mind with Krishna. This is what we will learn. And this is what will come. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. So happy that I've done. I gave my best. Thank you so much for listening so patiently. Hare Krishna. Is there one question, maybe? Vijayta, yes.
Okay, so first you asked what it means to be separated from Krishna. So for a conditioned soul, it doesn't mean anything to be separated from Krishna, because they don't know of that, so then they're not feeling anything. How from that point can you turn to feeling separation? Because to feel separation, you need to feel love. But if you don't feel love for Krishna, what do you do to get to that point first before you can feel the separation?
Mm-hmm. Vijeta's question is very, very good. She asked, if you want, I can try to make it crystal clear, your question. To feel separated from Krishna, you need to have some love, but we have so much forgotten Krishna and the experience of loving Krishna. So how can we move to this exalted feeling? You can't feel separation from something you have never felt love towards, no? Is it like this, Vijayta? Ah. see, here is a point where I feel Prabhupada is very much, let me say, which is a very important point of Prabhupada's presentation of Krishna consciousness. He used to say that we have a relationship to Krishna. Do you remember this? And other thinkers, we never had a relationship to Krishna. Otherwise, we could not have fallen away from such a loving relationship. But Prabhupada here makes the point, we have a relationship to Krishna. And I really think that we all know about this. We all deeply ingrained in our soul feel a need for God, a need for the unlimited, the all-powerful, the omniscient personality. And it is because we feel this need, or let me say, feeling this need is a proof that he is existing. See, you couldn't desire something which is not existing because you don't know of it. You wouldn't know about it. But since you know about it, it must exist in some form. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, every soul wants to connect with him. We say in Germany, there is no atheist in the war. When the situation comes up, every soul goes in a natural direction to take shelter at God's, at the Lord's lotus feet. It's like a fish. When the fish feels dry, he will always try to go into the water. Or the crab, when there is some threat, the crabs in the Adriatic coast run on the side back into the ocean. So it's so natural for us to turn towards God, and that shows this need shows that he is there. Otherwise, we would not have such a thing. So on one level, we all know about God. We all know about his existence. We all feel the need to take shelter at him. We all yearn for him. Although our tears sometimes carry other names, we really cry for Krishna. I did write a poem once about it. And that is there. This is the primeval longing. Even the atheist Jean Paul Sartre discovered this in his philosophy, and he didn't like it, so he expressed it like this: "It seems that the human being is cursed to look for God." Hare Krishna. Jean Paul Sartre is saying the truth in his own offensive way. It's not a curse, it's good. So we all have this feeling towards Krishna. And now let's turn to you, Vijayata, as a devotee. Your peak experiences in spiritual life are related with Krishna. Have you visited Vrindavan, Vijayata? You have? Was it a good visit or a traumatic visit? What? Good visit, fine. Sometimes I'm asking because sometimes people come, back to Vrindavan, and they were only in the geographical but not the spiritual Vrindavan. Anyways, you had some experience with the sweetness of the holy Dham. Where your heart feels attracted to Krishna. When you sit at the Jamuna, Krishna seems to be so close to you. You have heard the stories about Krishna and your heart has become inspired by them. You have been in kirtan when you were young. I mean, now you're middle young, but when you were very young, Vijayata, you were dancing because you liked Krishna so much. You have experiences which only make sense if there is a Krishna. I feel when Prabhupada said we have a relationship, he saved us so that we can long for that fulfillment again. Everyone does it anyways. It's the natural psychological thing. So, Hare Krishna, I have gone over time. Thank you very much. Vijayata, I could talk the whole night, day and night, and the next morning about this. But I have to put on the brakes now to me. I thank you very much. I see you at, 11:45. We can make a pause. Now, lunch, please take these lunch pauses and eating pauses. Hare Krishna! Krishna. Thank you. Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Govinda Nandan.